pray for your grace that's completely sufficient, 100% sufficient for us. So we pray for Barbara, we pray for her family, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit to be present, and for her to have a friend like Joyce that can just reach out and we can be praying. And so we thank you for the fellowship of sisters and brothers that are there to comfort us and to pray for us and to recognize that you are in control. So we thank you, Lord, that the enemy is growling and drooling and biting looks scary, but we thank you, Lord, that he's not just a toothless monster, just he's nothing, just has no bite. We thank you that all death has been swallowed up with the death of Jesus. The victory is already won. So we thank you, Lord. We're not looking for a victory. It's already there. It's already been done. So we thank you for that. Father, we praise you. We worship you. We thank you for Barbara, and we rebuke the enemy over this situation. We rebuke the darkness. We thank you that she has an anchor. She is on solid ground in Jesus. So we thank you, Father. We praise you. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good. Apostles' Creed. Let's read the Apostles' Creed. We're going to put it up there. Let's go ahead and say it. Monty, lead us off.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, the only Son of our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, sitting at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty.
Kids going to the back, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. You ready? Gabby, we got a customer. Here's your bulletin. Thank you. Kids preaching. Holy Spirit's preaching. It's going to use Dave.
Oh, I lost the little thingy. All right, no plosives because it'll make the mic go crazy. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this wonderful weather. Thank you for friends and family, and thank you especially for mothers today that we're celebrating moms. They are precious. We wouldn't be here without moms. Thank you for your perfect design. Please let the words coming out of my mouth be your words and not my own today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So God is good. Do we have any moms here today? I know we do. I can see tons of them. Anybody want to say anything about their bride or their mom? No? Okay. All right, moving on. Amen. So... it's fun when God talks to you, gives you little things. I like it when people say something and it'll click in your head, or just God gives you a word. I know what he's mainly been teaching me is to look past what is on the surface, because somebody will come up to you and they'll gripe at you or yell at you or do something, and God sees their heart, and so God wants you to see their heart as well. So if you just see their actions, then you get defensive or you react to that. But if you ask God to show you, that person, how God sees them, you can see why they're hurting, why they're angry, and you find a solution for that. So that's, it's good, because forever I've been kind of, and it's just because I'm a surface type person. It happens, I react to it. That's just, I don't get much deeper than that. I don't, and I always see people who are debaters or whatever, and they get so deep. I'm like, how, I would have never come up with that. I wouldn't have gotten to that point. I just saw that that guy did that, and that meant it made me angry or made me sad or whatever, and so I had this reaction. And he goes, yeah, but he did that because of this, and it was because of this. And I go, okay, well, I need to see deeper than the surface. So so I like it when God gives me words, and actually none of these probably have anything to do with what I just said, but that's good good food. When someone is acting some way, try to see past what they're acting and figure out what the problem is, because most of the time it's not you, even though they're coming at you. Salvation is not a goal. It is the entrance ticket to the race. I mean, people think, I'm saved, done. No, that's the beginning. We just started. You just entered the race. So, but the cool thing is the race is run by Jesus, and he wins in the end, and we get to be on his team. So, hallelujah. The law is perfect, but it has no equity. The law is strict, and it's black and white. But the gospel says, I already kept the law. So that's Jesus. Jesus said, you got to keep the law to get to heaven. Oh, you can't keep the law? Fine, I'll do it for you, and then you just take my free gift. So that's... I thought this was kind of... I'm not mature. I'm dead. I always think, when we think, well, I got to be mature in Christ, people think, I got to be mature in Christ. No, you just need to die. You need to die to yourself. And that's the hardest thing to do, because our flesh does not like to die. We went out of town and lots of things went bad, and my flesh was alive and well. We left town, and first thing the vehicle did was break down. Hallelujah. And then we encountered a snake. It's not what you want around your four-year-old. And then the electricity went out. We're like, praise God. Thank you for all this testing. So it was good. Good, but you know what? You're with family, and so even though everything seems awful, it's great because you're with family, and that's a gift. That's a blessing. So, let's see. Obedience is love, not fear or necessity. And I see that a lot in Christians, is they obey God out of fear or necessity, but we obey God out of love because we already realize that he is... given us everything, and you know, he doesn't want us to be a servant or a slave. He wants us to be a son and a daughter. He wants us to be his bride for his son one day. So, you know, people always look at God the wrong way. They think, oh, he's angry at me for doing thus and so. He already knew you were going to do thus and so. That's why he sent Jesus to the cross and died and covered all your sins, past, present, future. Doesn't mean we don't ask forgiveness. Hey, God, I sinned today. He goes, I know, I already covered it. And you go, yeah, I know you already covered it, but I just want to say, that was dumb. Shouldn't have done that, but thank you for forgiving me. Hallelujah. So, all right. John chapter 11. This is the fun one. It's where people worry for no reason. We do that. We don't, like the lady that Monty was testifying, God gave her a word. He's going to be all right. Go anoint him with oil. You know, people... God tells you dumb things, but you got to listen to it because he's right. He created the world. He knows what's going on. He knows the beginning from the end. He has the big picture. We can only see what's in front of us. We can only do what's we touch, feel, taste, smell, see, hear. But he lives in the spiritual realm as well, so he can see beyond all that. We don't see the angels surrounding us, you know, the mighty armies that are protecting us all the time. So... All right, John chapter 11, verse 1. And there was a certain sick one, Lazarus, from Bethany, of the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Remember that people thought that was weird. You know, when God tells you to do something, like I said, sometimes it's weird. It doesn't make any sense. But one of the other things I just kind of brought to mind was when we truly worship, it's a perfume to him. We don't know. I was thinking about the other day. It's like there was incense throughout the whole Old Testament. I'm like, God is into fragrances. I mean, he made us to be able to smell. It was wonderful to him. We're a perfume to him. That just seems weird or feminine or whatever. But you know what? God made flowers and they smell good, you know, and just all sorts of tastes and whatever. God's into that. So therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, the one whom thou love is sick. And hearing Jesus said, this is not a sickness to death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God be glorified by it. Of course, you know, that didn't mean anything to them. That meant absolutely nothing to them. He's not sick. This is for God's glory. What? And then so people do that all the time. I got sick for God's glory. You're like, nah, God will do glory out of that. Jesus was saying, God already knew that Lazarus was going to get sick, and it's going to be to God's glory because something cool is going to happen. So it's like, hallelujah. So that the Son of God be glorified by it. And Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Therefore, when he heard that he was sick, then indeed he remained in the place where he was 2 days. So he wasn't worried about it. When you got a word from God, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You rest. God tells you what to do, when to go, what to do. You know, just be at peace. Often we force things, and it usually makes it worse. But if you go in God's timing, it's perfect. Because I like things to be right. You know, in my business, I like to be the only guy there because then I can control everything. But I've got lots of other guys that work for me or under me or whatever, and you can't control what they do or what they mess up or what they do right or how long they take. And you have to just learn to be at peace and be at rest. And in the end, it all works out, you know. The project's good. The customer's happy. That's the way we need to be with God. We just be at peace. You know, we're all different. And that's what's fun is we all have a purpose. I said this a few weeks ago. I said I was reading one of Luther's devotions, and it's like, you're not Paul. You're not Moses. You're not David. You are you. Well, I'm David, but not the David in the Bible, David. God made you for you to do what you were needed to do. He didn't create you to be Paul. Paul already has been come and gone. So your purpose is you. So that's so important to realize that you don't need to be those other people. You need to be who God created you to be for the purpose that he created you for. And he remained in that place. He was there 2 days. And then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, just now the Jews are seeking to stone you, and do you go there again? It's like, I mean, I would have been the same. I always think, how could you be that dumb to know he's the Son of God? You think just a man could just come kill him? He's the Son of God. Man can't. He can only do what God allows him to happen. But I would have been there too. I would have been like, hey, Jesus, they're trying to kill you. You know, we got to protect you. It's like, oh, you're just here to fellowship with me. That's what Jesus wants. He wants us to fellowship with him. He wants us to be beside him doing stuff. We get to join in on all the awesome things he does. And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. He said these things, and after this, he said unto them, our friend Lazarus Lazarus has fallen asleep. So he already knew. Gone. He's fallen asleep. He's not gone. He's just fallen asleep. But I am going that way that I may awaken him. And then his disciples said, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover? He will recover. And Jesus had spoken about his death, but they thought he had spoken about sleep of slumber. So they're like, okay, well, if he's just asleep. So, therefore then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus has died. Okay, that puts a different meaning on it. Okay, and I rejoice because of you, in order that you may believe that I was not there. But let us go to him then. Oh, okay. So, I was just talking about this with some people the other day. God's timing is perfect. When my dad got sick, Mary and I had planned a trip to see her folks. And God said, don't change your trip, just go. And so we went, and my dad got really sick. And I'm, you think in your mind, well, do I need to go home? God said no. I said, okay. So because I was in Washington, my oldest sister and my middle sister and my youngest sister spent 2 solid weeks with my dad. My oldest sister would see him every couple of years. So, but if I had been here, they would not have come. They would have just let me take care of my dad. And they would not have gotten to spend time with my dad. I mean, I got to spend time with my dad all the time, multiple times a week. So, I had done that. God knew I didn't need to do that anymore. I needed to have that gift for them. They needed to spend time with dad before he went on to rest for a while. It was funny. I used to think, well, when you go to heaven, you're awake immediately. And I think, well, the Bible says you rest. And I thought, now, the older I am, I think, man, that sounds nice. But it says it'll be a twinkling of an eye. I'm like, no, I want to know that I rested. I want to wake up and go, whoo, that was a good sleep. Then Thomas, having been called twin, said to the fellow disciples, let us go, even we, that we may die with him. And then coming, Jesus found him early, being held in the tomb for 4 days. And Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. I don't know what's a furlong, so it's long and furry. And many of the Jews had come to those around Martha and Mary, and that they might console them concerning their brother. Therefore, when Martha heard that Jesus is coming, she met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. And then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not be dead. But even now, I know that whatever you may ask God, God will give you. Wow! That's faith. I can't remember if I told this here or in Dallas. It was so funny. I was driving by because I knew for sure. I mean, this was just my wishful thinking. I knew for sure God was going to raise my dad from the dead. It's not his plan. And then it was funny. I was driving by one day. I was like, hey, Dad, the cemetery. And I thought, what if God would raise him from the dead, but he wouldn't open the sepulcher? What a stupid idea that God would have enough power to raise him from the dead, but he wouldn't let him out of the ground. That's dumb. How could I have enough faith to think that my dad would raise, maybe my God would raise dad from the dead, but not? So, it's good. It's good. Anyways, God told me he's going to be raised from the dead one day. It's when he comes back, it's going to be good. So, I mean, he's not dead anyways. He's actually truly alive now. This body is what's holding us back. It's just temporary. So many people in the world make such a big deal about this body because they don't realize that this is just a moment in time. It's just a moment, a breath, and then we spend all eternity. And that has bothered me too. I'm like, what are we going to do for eternity? It's better be pretty interesting, God, because that's a long time, forever. But I think it will be. I think it'll be amazing. When there's no time, he doesn't have time. Time isn't a thing to him. So it's just, and that when we always want, we're like, I wish I could just relax. not have any worries or cares or pressures or things going wrong. That's what eternity is going to be like. It's just going to be peaceful and exciting and nothing going wrong, you know. So she said, "But even now I know that whatever you may ask God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day." And Jesus said to her, so she kind of faltered there. He's like, "Whatever God says," Jesus says, "he'll rise again." She's like, "Yeah, I know. He'll rise again on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one believing into me, though he die, he shall live. And everyone living and believing in me shall die to the age. His flesh shall die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have believed that you are the Christ and the Son of God who comes into this world." So, I mean, they've been waiting for this guy for forever. So up until now, it's all been law. And now the gospel is here. You know, the guy that's going to change everything. And saying these things, she went away and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and calls you." That one, when she heard, rose up quickly and came to him. And Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was in the place where Martha met him. And then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, seeing that Mary quickly rose up and went out. And they followed her, saying, "She's going to the tomb that she may weep there." Then Mary, when she came where Jesus was, seeing him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you were here, my brother would not have died." So another one. I mean, we'd react the same way. You think, I'm not going to react that way. But we have the whole Bible. We have all the examples. You know, we do all the dumb things that everybody did in the Bible. We do it just the same way. We lie like Abraham and mess up like David and be dumb like Solomon. Solomon, the wisest man that did the dumbest things. It's like. That's the one thing in life I said, "Lord, I don't want to ever be so proud that I miss you, that I miss what you got going on." Because it's easy. Something awesome. God does something awesome through you, and you think, "Whoa, look what I just did." Then you have to remember, that wasn't me. That was God that did that through me. I can do nothing. I am only a vessel. I remind myself that, because it would be so easy to go, you know, be, never mind, I will not say names. There are a lot of sons that have taken their father's ministries and done really well worldly through them. So hallelujah. So that's actually, oddly enough, I think that's held me back, because I've always been afraid of being proud. And so I didn't let it happen. And I think I just need to let God do it through me and stop trying to will it. I'm a very strong willer. My niece graduated yesterday, and I didn't want to go to the party because I was very tired. And my sister called me up and chewed me out. She said, "You're stubborn, just like Dad." And I was like, "You are right." And after she yelled at me for a little more, I hung up on her. So that probably wasn't very brotherly of me, but we hugged it out later. That's a good thing about family, is you let people be themselves. You let them, as Dad would say, let their snake out for a little bit, and then you forgive them. And that's good. That's what family's about. You can be a jerk to your family, and then you just love them because they're your family. And that's the way the church family is. Your family. I love you. It wasn't you. It was something going on, you know. Made you mad. Wasn't me. You're right. Let it go. Hallelujah. Where am I at? Thank you. And he said, I usually put my finger there so I don't lose my place, but it was in the, I'm like, I am not at 55. And he said, and when he saw her weeping, And the Jews came down to her weeping. And Jesus groaned in the spirit and troubled himself. And he said, "Where have you put him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. And the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Was this one the one opening the eyes of the blind, not able to have caused that this one should not die?" And then groaning again within himself, Jesus came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and the stone was lying, a stone was lying on it. And Jesus said, "Lift the stone." And Martha, the sister of the one that had died, said to him, "Lord, he already smells. It's the fourth day." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you, if you would believe, you will see the glory of God?" And they lifted the stone where the dead one was laid. And Jesus lifted his eyes upward and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd standing around, I said it that they might believe you sent me." And saying these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, here, outside." That's not what it says in the King James. That's what it says in the Greek. "Lazarus, come forth." And the one who had died came out, and his feet and hands having been bound with sheets and his face being bound with cloth, Jesus said to them, "Untie him, let him go." Then many of the Jews, those coming to Mary and having seen what Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Can't break the law. Remember, Jesus was always breaking the law. He'd heal people on the Sabbath and eat corn on the Sabbath. It's like, oh, it's like you missed the point. Remember that the law has no mercy in it. It has no equity. It was just there to show you needed God. God didn't put the law there for you to keep it. He put the law there to show you that you needed him to keep it. God, you keep the law through me. I can't keep the law. As much as I try to be good, I'm bad. So they missed the point. You can't keep the law. You can't. And that's why they make so many little laws. It's easy to keep little laws. Don't eat bacon. Okay, I cannot eat bacon. Don't eat cheese on your hamburger. I cannot do that. You can keep those. Those are easy to keep. I would not want to not eat cheese on my hamburger. That's probably not good for me. I'm sure that was the reason that was a law. Don't eat dairy with your meat. Probably doesn't digest well. But man, it tastes good. And then God came to Moses and said, "You know, it's okay to eat a lot of that stuff." I mean, not Moses, excuse me, Peter. He may have told Moses, but we don't know about that. Probably not yet, because he gave Moses all the laws. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees assembled a Sanhedrin and said, "What are we doing? For this man does many miracles. If we let him alone this way, all will believe unto him, and the Romans will come and will take away from us both the place and the nation." So, I mean, they study the gospel. I mean, they study the Bible. They study the books of the Bible. I mean, there is no New Testament at this point because they hadn't been written, but it's like, when you read the Old Testament, you see who God is. You see how, I mean, some people read it and they go, "Oh, God is angry and evil. Look how he disciplined those people and killed all those people." And they go, "Oh, look how much mercy there was in the Old Testament." You know, people would come in, you know, they'd be following God. And then one day they'd decide, "Yeah, I'm kind of tired of this God thing." And they'd start doing their own thing. And they'd go, "God, we don't need you anymore." And people think, well, then they got captured by, you know, the Assyrians or their whatever. And God was like, "Oh, God was punishing them." No, he wasn't. They said, "We don't want you anymore." And so God was like, "Hey, I still love you. As soon as you're ready to come back, just say the word." And as soon as they're like, "Oh, God, we messed up," he was right there immediately. He didn't, "Well, let me take my time. No, he would send a judge or a hero, and they would be back in the land as soon as they repented. And the repenting isn't, "Oh, God, we sin," is, "Oh, God, we do need you. We need you." So it's like, God, again, God's not worried about our sin. That's what Jesus did. Jesus covered that. He wants a relationship with us. He already said, your sins are covered. But a certain of them, Caiaphas, being a high priest of that year, said to them, you know nothing, nor consider what is profitable for us that one man die for the people and that and not all the nation to perish. But he did not say this from himself, but being a high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was about to die on the behalf of the nation, and not only on behalf of the nation, but that he also might gather unto one the children of God who had been scattered. Then that day they took counsel that they might kill him. So, remember, even bad guys got to do God's plan. And, you know, and they aren't even bad. Somebody posted something the other day, and I made an answer to it because it was actually, okay. So it said something about, you know, God knew Peter's heart, and so he drew Peter back in, but Judas's heart was gone, so he let Judas go. And I go, man, you just don't understand who God is. God loved Judas as much as Peter and would have immediately forgiven him. If Judas had said, God, I betrayed your son, please forgive me, God would have said, no problem, immediately. God, I mean, we're not going to ruin his plan. I mean, he helped. Judas should have been like, woo, I helped. You know, I got Jesus on the cross, and now we're all free from sin. I mean, we can start the program. You know, salvation. Remember, salvation is the ticket to start the program. It's the ticket to heaven. You know, it's the ticket to your relationship with God. It's the start. Because when Adam and Eve ate the apple in the garden, they separated themselves spiritually from God. Because they sinned. They had sin in their life. God can't be around sin. I mean, and so Jesus came and he covered the sin. The sin is covered. He started that was the plan that God had already started. Remember, God said, you know, I need a bride for my son. I'm going to create a universe. I'm going to put plants and animals. I'm going to create a man and a woman. I'm going to create somebody for my son so that he can rule and reign. It's God, because a king needs a queen. That's actually where that thought came from, where I need to see past people, see past their pain, and see where the... Because if you're to be someone who is a ruler, you have to see past the superficial. You know, like Solomon and the two women. And, you know, they're like, well, it's my baby. No, it's my baby. And, you know, Solomon saw past that. He's like, well, just cut it in half. And then immediately he knew, because the one woman was like, no, no, don't. And he's like, well, you're the real mom because you care. The other woman doesn't. That's just... To be a ruler, you have to be able to see past the superficial. And we're going to rule and reign with God. So, I mean, if we're to be his queen, then that means we're going to rule over something. And so that means there's going to be people that, you know, I don't know. Anyway, that is all in the future. So, but it's like, so anyways. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked publicly. Did I get to that part yet? Oh, yeah, that they might kill him. They're always trying to kill him. And see, the disciples are always worried. Oh, Jesus, we got to protect you. And it's funny because he'd be in the midst of a crowd and he'd do some miracle and they were going to murder him. And he'd just like walk right out. And they'd be like, where'd he go? It's like, and how did the disciples not see that? He doesn't need your protection. He's walking with God. When you walk with God, anything can happen. You know, turn stones to bread, you know, whatever. We think too small. That's our problem. Go rub, put some oil on the man's head, and he's going to sit up in bed. Want to go for a walk. So, therefore, Jesus no longer walked publicly among the Jews, but went away from there into the country near the desert to a city being called Ephraim, and stayed there with his disciples. And the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went up to Jerusalem out of the country before the Passover, that they might purify themselves. Then they sought Jesus and said to one another, standing in the temple, what does it seem to you that he does? not at all come from the feast. And all the chief priests and the Pharisees had given command that if anyone knew where he was, that they should inform him so that they may seize him. So, remember, God's plan can't be stopped. He's God. If you don't know that he knows the beginning from the end, he's not surprised. It wasn't a hiccup that Adam and Eve sinned. You know, he already knew it was going to happen. It's good for him to be able to show his mercy and his glory and his power. And a mother is a really good example, because a mother gives up everything. I mean, she gives up her body, and then she takes care of the kid, feeds them for multiple years with her body, and then she makes sure that they don't die or get hurt for the next 18 years. I mean, that's sacrifice. Man, what a gift moms are. That's a picture. God sacrificed himself. He loves us so much. And moms don't do it because they have to. They do it because they love. Man, that love is in them. It's just there. It's built into them. Even if you didn't want to, it's still there. God built it into you. God was smart. It's funny how women and men are so different, but they're equally oppositely different. It's like, because a dad is good and a mom is good, but they're different. I mean, a kid gets hurt and the dad's like, ah, blow it off. You know, you get over it. And a mom's like, oh, I must fix it. And I'm like, ah, she'll be fine. That's good. If I were the only parent, she probably wouldn't be doing so well. She needs a mom who will protect her, from things like that. So it's good. So thank you, God, for mothers. A poignant meme, I think, lately is, it's like there's 8 billion, whatever, how many people are ever on the earth? 8 billion people have been born from women, and 0 have been born from men. I like that. So thank you, moms. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us for who we are, and for your promise that we don't have to fix ourselves up, that you said, I will fix you up. The work I began in you, I will surely complete it. Thank you that you are interested just in a relationship with us. Bless everyone here today. Let them go. If their moms are still around, let them have a good time with their moms. If they're not, have them remember all the good memories that their mom, all the things their moms did for them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Monty, can you say the benediction for us? Amen. God is good. Whew. Mary had me turn the air off. I think it's a little hot in here now. You have to confess? You have the best wife.